Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Not in Starkville or Tupelo, you know the place to go, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that... Oh, that's right, he's not here today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're going to be cooking out at the Starkville Regional out there at Duty Noble Field in the Left Field Lounge, make beef the MVP. So versatile, so much you can do with it. Whatever you want to cook, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything at College Corner that you need to look your best for the Starkville Regional. All of the M over S gear, they have got it. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then you need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that will treat you with respect, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is a rainy Tuesday here in Starkville. Hopefully not raining all weekend because we've got baseball to get to. The Starkville Regional is set. Mississippi State's path to Omaha is set. It will start on Friday, May 29th at 1 p.m. I'm brain farted there for a second. 1 p.m. first pitch. Mississippi State will take on Lipscomb. That is a rematch of a non-conference series that the Bulldogs swept earlier this year. And, of course, you can probably remember that Sunday game that State won 26-0. That's game one between Mississippi State and Lipscomb. Game two between the 2 and 3 seeds, Cincinnati and Louisiana. At 6 p.m., winner will go on into the winner's bracket and play Saturday. And then you know how regionals work. You're a Mississippi State baseball fan. You know how regionals work at this point in your life. A very interesting regional when you look at it. You know, Louisiana and Cincinnati. We'll start with the I'm not gonna dive too deep on Lipscomb. Just call me crazy on that one. If I jinx Mississippi State, so be it. But I gotta feel pretty good about State's chances in that one. Cincinnati is a pretty good baseball team when you look at them overall. 22 in the RPI, 37 wins on the season. Took two out of three. Their first three wins of the season, they took two out of three from Jacksonville State. They're in the tournament down in Hattiesburg. That's going to be a very interesting three seed for somebody to have to deal with. And then they beat Auburn 8-0. That was their first midweek game of the year. In conference play, you know, some struggles here. Only got one game off of Kansas. Got swept by Oklahoma State. But they did take two out of three from West Virginia, who, of course, is hosting a regional. When you look at their numbers as a team, they're hitting 384 home runs, but 28 of those home runs are from one guy, Quentin Coates, a big 6'3", 225-pounder, 28 home runs, hitting 346 on the season. Only two – what a weird stat line. Only two guys for the whole team are in double digits for home runs. But between Coates and Taransky, they have 44 of their 84 home runs. So that's a, that's weird. That's a weird, like a little outlier stat though. Ryan Taransky, the other guy who has 16 home runs on the season, hitting 336 on the year. That's so Coates is obviously the danger guy there. From a pitching perspective, they have a guy that looks like, doesn't look like he is their ace, and that's Nathan Taylor on the season, 6-3, 3.86 ERA, 112 strikeouts to only 23 walks. Batters hitting 243 against them. Teams is overall are hitting 260 against this Cincinnati pitching staff. So they'll give up some hits. And if you're a Mississippi State fan, I think that, you know, that's probably what you wanted to see. But this is a good baseball team. They've won a lot of good games this year, and they will be a tough team to contend with should Mississippi State play them. Louisiana, on the other side of things, one of the hottest teams in the country overall right now. Currently 33 in the RPI. Finished off the season taking 2 of 3 from Coastal Carolina. Really knocked Coastal Carolina completely out of the hosting picture there. Earlier in the season, they took 2 out of 3 from Southern Miss in Lafayette. And then made it all the way to the finals of the conference. I'm sorry, the Sun Belt Conference tournament, where they lost to USM on Sunday by a final score of 11-7. But along the way, there beat Marshall, beat Coastal again. So they've beaten Coastal Carolina, who's a pretty good baseball team, 4 times out of 5 in the last 2 weeks. Got 2 from Texas State. That's another decent baseball team there before they run into Southern Miss in the championship game. As a team, looking at Louisiana stats, they're hitting, only hitting 267. This is not a great hitting baseball team. Only 47 home runs. They have obviously, you know, as you can probably guess from those stats, they've won some games with pitching. But it's not overly impressive there either. 4.88 ERA, teams hitting 246 against them. Just a good baseball team. This is not the same Louisiana team, the same program that Mississippi State ran into in 2014 when they were one of the top programs in the country. This is, you know, this program has taken a little bit of a step back, but still a pretty consistent threat. My question that I'm going to have for O'Connor, and we're scheduled to talk to him later today on Sports Talk Mississippi. First time we've had him live this year. He couldn't work a Zoom into the schedule, so he's like, "Can we just go with 3:30?" I was like, "We can." So messing with what works. I don't know how that's going to go, but just on the surface, it appears like Mississippi State's going to be in a position to throw a pitcher like Duke Stone on Friday in Game 1, and then have Valinkas and McPherson ready to go on Game 1, and then Game 2, Game 3. Valinkas and McPherson should be ready to lock you up. Again, I'll ask O'Connor, you know, what the health situation is with McPherson. Check that interview out on Sports Talk Mississippi if you haven't heard it already at this point. But, you know, if you can't beat Lipscomb with Duke Stone, you probably aren't going to be advancing anyway. So I would imagine that he gets the start. Did he get the Sunday start? He had to have, right, against Lipscomb earlier this year, or had he already moved to Saturday? I guess he would have, no, because McPherson was still going. So in that game, let's see what Duke Stone did. Yeah, he did. He got the win in that one. My guess is he didn't pitch a whole ton. 4 innings. Oh, yeah, he pitched great. Pitched 4 innings of no-hit baseball. 6 strikeouts, no walks. So pitched 4 perfect innings in that one in State's 26-0 victory. What a weird game that was, man. 12-run third inning. State scored in every inning but the 6th over Lipscomb. They swept that series, as you remember, Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, 8-3 on Thursday, 9-4 on Saturday. And then, of course, the weird 26-0 game for Mississippi State to close it out. So that State's path to Omaha, on the surface, you know, just looking at it, it looks like a very winnable regional. Cincinnati and, you know, Louisiana, not big-time power-hitting teams. They, you know, we mentioned the Cincinnati guys. They got a couple of guys to keep an eye on, but by and large, they don't have those kind of power threats throughout the lineup. And State's pitching is usually good enough that they don't give up, you know, just strings of hits. What's hurt State this year is giving up the long ball, you know, in those situations. So you got to feel pretty good about your chances there. The fact that you should be able to manage your pitching staff in such a way that Valinkas can throw against the winner of the of Game 2, and then you have McPherson ready for a closeout game, should make you very very comfortable in that. Of course, the other side of the bracket is where you're going to be a little bit nervous, and Georgia very likely to advance. I know Georgia's had some postseason struggles over the last few years, but this feels like a different kind of Georgia team. This really does feel like, to me, they may be the best team in the country. They're the 3 seed. They've got Boston College, who's a pretty good ACC team, Liberty, and Long Island. I'll be very surprised if Mississippi State isn't packing its bags for Athens come Sunday. But I do think State will advance through the it's just where I've been saying it's going to be for the past few weeks, that I like this team's chances to get out of a regional, but I don't like their chances against an elite team in a best of three, because they've struggled in that all year long. What I will say is, and it's become kind of like a little bit of a running joke, but they say it's tough to beat a team twice. It's tough to beat a team three times in a season. It certainly is. Beating a team six times in a season is really got to be something. And at some point, you know, every one of these games that State has played against Georgia, they've had some opportunities. And these games have not been blowout games. State's been close in all of them. And it just feels like, you know, do is not a real thing. It's not an analytic. It's not something I can attach a formula to and figure out who's due against whoever. But Mississippi State, for whatever it's worth, has to be doing this. You know, it feels like the brakes have tilted so far in Georgia's favor. They got to tilt back the other way at some point. That said, Georgia is an outstanding baseball team, and they could just as easily go to, you know, play Mississippi State in two games and beat them in two games and move on to Omaha. But I'm just, you know, the dynamic of you've got to beat this team for a fifth and sixth time if you want to go to the College World Series. That is a challenge, I think. So, you know, for State, obviously getting O'Connor to look ahead would be a futile task. But for us here on this program, we can certainly do it. Looking ahead, you know, I'll just be interested to see. Got to also remember that McPherson did not pitch against Georgia the first time around. Would have him back in the rotation. My guess is, and it's just a guess, that you would go back to normal. You go Valinkas, McPherson, Stone on Sunday if it comes to that. All in all, I feel great about State's chances to advance to the Super Regional. I don't feel great about their chances to beat Georgia and go to Omaha. So, quick look around the tournament. Here's your final field of 64. As expected, UCLA is the one seed. They are paired with Morgantown. Kentucky ends up making the tournament. They're the three seed at West Virginia. Georgia Tech is the two overall. They've got Oklahoma as the two in their regional, paired with Kansas. And Kansas is where they sent the Arkansas Razorbacks. I would put a lot of money on Arkansas to advance out of that regional. Missouri State, though, keep an eye on them. That was a really good Conference USA baseball team. We already mentioned that Georgia is the three, paired with Mississippi State, the 14. Auburn is the four. They're paired with Lincoln, Nebraska, the 13. That's where Ole Miss is. They'll try to get out of that regional. They're paired with Arizona State. There's a lot of balls going to be flying out of the yard when those two teams play each other. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is the five seed. They've got Tennessee in their regional, paired with College Station and Texas A&M. Texas is the sixth seed. They're paired with Eugene, Oregon. Oregon seeded higher than I thought they would be. If you remember when we were talking yesterday, I thought that Oregon might be behind Mississippi State. I knew that West Virginia would be. I really thought Oregon might be as well. But they got – not only did they get the 12th seed, but their regional, no other power conference team in it. Oregon State, Washington State, and Yale. So two independents and the Ivy League. Alabama is the seventh seed. They're paired with Tallahassee, Florida State. That's where Coastal Carolina ended up as the two seed. And then Gainesville, Florida, did do enough to get on the national seed side of things. They're the eighth seed. They are paired with Hattiesburg, and tough regional for the Golden Eagles. Virginia is their two seed. Jacksonville State, I mentioned them earlier, they have been one of the best mid-major programs in college baseball this year. And then don't forget Little Rock pushed LSU to the brink last year in a regional. So that's an interesting regional. The Golden Eagles have got their work cut out for them. That's your field of 64. The biggest snub from an RPI perspective, I believe, was Mercer, who I thought would be a lock to get in. They were the 28 RPI team. The problem for Mercer was pretty simple. They only played five games against Quad 1 teams all year, and they were 1-4 in those games. They played 8 plus 28 is 36 of their 59 games were Quad 3, Quad 4. They just didn't play enough. And this goes back to someone I was talking about. I remember earlier this year I was talking about State's non-conference and how they played three weekend series in the non-conference against sub-150 teams and got to find better options, and a Mercer would be an opportunity like that. If that had happened this year and State had just taken two out of three, State's still in. They're still seated where they're going to be. Nothing changes for Mississippi State. But Mercer's probably in. And so, you know, there is some mutual beneficialness. That's not a word. What is the word? Beneficiary's not it either, though. Benefit. Why am I making it so complicated? complicated mutual benefit to playing that kind of series. So I'll be interested to see, you know, that's something I'll ask O'Connor about, you know, maybe later when we get into the offseason. But State could have made this a lot easier. We talked so much about, oh, if they had just won one more game in those last 3 weeks. Yeah, you're probably correct. But at the same time, had they played three non-conference series against just somewhat better teams, they would have, could have done this as well. You know, from an RPI perspective, instead of being 13th, they could have been 9th or 10th. They had just played some better games. So all in all, for Mississippi State, I think they have to be pretty pleased with the regional that they've gotten. It's not overly taxing. It's 14. It's three teams you should be able to beat. The super regional, I mean, when you're on the when you're the 14 seed, you just kind of get what you get there, right? Your options were going to be Georgia, Auburn. Your best case scenario, I think, would have been to go to North Carolina, but that's still a really good baseball team. That's just the way that it pans out for you. So, 1 o'clock first pitch on Friday for Mississippi State. To my knowledge, they have not. You know, I've been checking the Twitters here. They have not announced who Mississippi State will throw in that game. I will try to coax that information out of Brian O'Connor a little later this afternoon. All right, Brooks Bryan's about to join us right now, so let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. If you're looking for a great lunch, a great dinner, or you want to have some great times this weekend while you're in Starkville for the regional, I definitely suggest making a trip over to our friends at Two Brothers. And, hey, we got baseball in Duty Noble Field. That means we've got Two Brothers Smoked Wings for at least a few more games. Enjoy them. The best ballpark food in the SEC. Two Brothers Smoked Wings. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. They're as much a part of Mississippi State baseball right now as the ball and the bat. So enjoy some great food this weekend at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need a new copier, printer, computers, or laptops for your business, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems and get the guarantee, the security blanket of service after the sale. You don't have to call a 1-800 number. You don't have to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to set up an appointment with a technician who may or may not be able to come out this week. They're in Mississippi. You're in Mississippi. A lot of times they can solve your problems the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. You're going to be in Starkville this weekend for the regional. Make sure you're shopping locally and seeing my friends over at Maroon & Co. The biggest, the best, the most unique selection of Mississippi State gear. Stuff you cannot find anywhere else. Brands you cannot find anywhere else in Starkville. Like LA7, the branded bills, you're going to find those at Maroon & Co. They have the best deals, and best of all, they have our promo code, so you can save a little money when you buy them. Thunder 15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions apply. I don't know what the exclusions are. I've never encountered one. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Shop this weekend. We are in the Starkville Regional, and shop at Maroon & Co., the best place for Mississippi State gear in the Golden Triangle. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, it's pouring down rain outside right now. What does that mean? The grass is winning this week. The grass is going to win this week. All right, it's going to be a rainy week. Grass is going to soak it up. Can't mow it. That's fine. We're going to get back out there soon enough, and when we do, John Deere is going to be our weapon of choice. John Deere, commercial mowers, zero-turn mowers, compact tractors, and if you're looking to get away, if you're looking to get out, do a little off-roading, the John Deere Gator, great deals available at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. As low as 0% financing on select tractors right now for as long as 84 months. You can't get a better deal. No bank is going to give you that kind of loan, I'll promise you that. Go see my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber, that's the name to know and the name to trust. If you're already a landowner and you're just trying to figure out how to best manage your land, manage your resources, manage your timber, our friends at Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. If you're trying to buy or sell land, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, Good Hope Land and Timber is also certainly ready, willing, and able to help you make that purchase. Whatever you're trying to do with your land, or if you're just trying to become a landowner, Good Hope Land and Timber is here for you. They're locally trusted and landowner approved. 601-442-988 or visit them online, g-hope.com, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, let's talk to Brooks Bryan, former Diamond Dog, get his thoughts on this regional, on state chances, how he would manage the pitching, and a little bit more. Brooks Bryan joins the podcast now. Brooks Braun joins us at this time. And Brooks, I mean, I see nothing in this regional and then the super regional pairing to take me off my prediction of State can win this regional, but then they're gonna struggle in the super regional. I want to look ahead with the first question. You know, people say all the time, it's tough to beat a team twice. It's tough to beat a team three times. How tough is it going to beat a team six times? Because that's what Georgia's going to have to do if they want to go to the College World Series.
Yeah, it's you can kind of look at it two ways, either one where Georgia has to beat State six times to do it, or where we've got to beat a team twice that we're 0-4 again. So you could look at it two different ways. But honestly, you know, as I got to thinking about it in the last day or two, where I thought that we would land, and I'd kind of put in my mind 13-15 is where we would land. And I didn't think we would be 16, so I kept us away from UCLA. And if you look at 13-15, you're 15. I knew that would be Georgia Tech. That's one place I didn't want to go. If you could get up to 13, I thought that would either be Auburn or North Carolina, which North Carolina was kind of my first pick that I would want to go. I wanted to stay away from Auburn just because, man, I love their pitching staff. I kind of said it. I know that we won that first game. But the pitcher they threw was obviously on 2 days short rest of Marciano, I think was his name. But the rest of their staff, man, is just really, really good. They've got two good relievers and three really good starters. So, you know, that kind of left Georgia. And I like the matchup. I know we're 0-4 against them. If we get to that point and I saw their regional, I really think that they'll for sure get there. But, you know, I like their pitching staff isn't just – it's nothing like Auburn's is. So I would like that matchup just as far as from a hitting perspective. And then, you know, we hopefully we'll have McPherson back full speed by then and have our 1-2-3 punch to go against them.
And wanted to ask you about that. So O'Connor today said McPherson threw a scrimmage Saturday, 5 shutout innings. He just threw under 80 pitches is what he said. Got to think, though, he's got to be at this point probably ready to go and can do whatever when his time comes up in this regional.
Yeah, and that's what I had. I know we discussed it last week. If we kind of get behind in a game or get way ahead, we would possibly see McPherson come in a relief role. And I didn't think that we would do that just because that would throw him off of his normal warm up, the way he warms up before a game. So, and I felt that, let's just say we got put out early, that he would throw in a simulated scrimmage type deal, and that's what ended up happening. It sounds like from Coach Oak. So, yeah, if he threw 5 or 6 shutout innings. That means that he was starting to find his fastball, spot it up a little bit more, and also find the breaking ball.
So we're playing a team in Lipscomb here that State's already played this season, swept them earlier in the year. Of course, that crazy 26-0 game on Sunday. So my first thought when I saw that it was Lipscomb as the 4 seed is, this is an opportunity to tweak the pitching staff like we talked about last week and throw a guy like Duke Stone in game one and then have Valinkas and McPherson. You should feel very confident that you're not going to lose the regional without one of those two guys going. If you were the skipper on this one, is that what you're doing? Or are you starting Stone or somebody else maybe even, but not Valinkas or McPherson in game one?
Yeah, 100%. I know Oak, you know, I've kind of looked back at whenever he was at Virginia, and most of the time he threw off that first game if he was a 1 seed. So I think that continues this Friday. We've already seen them. We know what they've got. We've got a good scouting report on them. So I would be very, very surprised if we saw Valinkas on Friday night or Friday. It'll probably be, I'm sure we would probably take the first game of the tournament. I would think you would hold him to basically try to get to 2-0. So you got to be beat twice.
And you mentioned it there. State is playing the 1 o'clock game on Friday against Lipscomb at 6 o'clock first pitch for Louisiana and Cincinnati. That's one of those things where the fans have to suffer a little bit. It's tough to get to Starkville maybe, you know, at 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, but just from a player preparation standpoint, that's just the smart move. And it's something that I don't remember being a thing until like the mid 2010s. Like Cohen started doing it. I remember he did it in 16 and drew a lot of criticism because we were like, it's going to be hot. But it just makes sense because you just don't know. And you don't want to end up playing a 15 inning game in that nightcap. And then if you lose, you got to turn around and play at 11 a.m. or whatever the next day. Are you a fan of the idea of the home team, the bigger seed going first like that?
I do. As you mentioned, you know, whether you get into a longer extra inning game, or whether you get into a weather delay. You get into a weather delay for an
Always a
hour or
possibility this
two,
time of year.
then you bumping everything back. So I definitely like going early. I know some of the fans aren't going to like it, but I mean, that's right now you're trying to win baseball games and win a regional to get to a super regional, and you're going to accommodate them as much as possible. But the smart move there by Oak would is to choose the early game just to do it, to take out weather as a factor as far as pushing you back maybe to 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, it may push the 1 o'clock game back, but okay, it pushes it back to four. You're still done by seven.
Yeah. What do you think of the way this team is playing as we go into postseason play? They hit the ball really well at Texas A&M, hit the ball really well in the first game against Missouri. And look, they had 9 hits against Georgia. They just kept could not stop grounding into double plays, but they got guys on base. From a pitching perspective, I thought Duke was really good. He made one mistake against Georgia, and that's what ends up costing you. It feels like McPherson's all the way back. For a team that has been inconsistent this year, I feel like at this point in the season, they're in about as good a place as we could have them outside of if things had gone according to plan the whole year.
I feel the same way. Their last three or four games, they swung it well. Bad luck against Georgia. Whenever you hit into four or five double plays, that means that you're hitting the ball hard. You're just, it's a quarter of an inch off instead of a hard line drive. It's a two hopper to the shortstop, or a one hopper. So, I do like how we're swinging it. We didn't have as many strikeouts as we had previously against Georgia. So, yeah, I like where we are, and being able to think that we'll have McPherson hopefully back to full speed, or at least hopefully not 80 or 90 pitches this weekend, gives me a lot of confidence for this weekend.
What's different as a player when you talk about game preparation and mentality, whatever you want to say, from the regular season? What's the biggest difference, I guess I should say, between regular season and postseason play, the way that you prepare yourself for those games?
Yeah, I mean, that it's two losses and you're done now. And during the regular season, it's a grind, man. It's a 10 weekends in the SEC, week after weekend after weekend. It's a grind, but now that's what you played this for. And you got basically 3 days to get three, possibly four wins, and to move on to where all you need is two wins away from Omaha. So it's a totally different mindset. I hate to say you're focused in more, or that outs are more of a premium at this point of the season, but that's the truth. And I think you'll see a more focused team. As again, I hope fans don't take that the wrong way to where they think that the team's not focused during the season, but
Right.
it's just a totally different mentality. As it is in football now with the college playoffs, and in basketball whenever you get to the field of 64.
You don't think fans are going to overreact, do you? Are
Some
fans
of
going to do that?
them overreacted yesterday
Yes,
when
they did.
D1 and Baseball America came out saying that we weren't going to host, and I didn't believe that at all. I
Yeah,
always think
me and
that's
you both.
13 to 15, and Arkansas making it to the championship game. If they win that game, does that change something for some teams? Maybe Oregon, making it to the championship game
To help them, yeah.
of them, that helped them. So, kind of gets back to the postseason tournaments, where I said I think all it can do is help you, and us winning, beating Missouri, helped solidify us at that, around the 14 spot, and then it also helped Oregon solidify their host spot, and it helped West Virginia solidify that final spot.
And if you will watch the show today with Mike Alford, the athletic director at Florida State, who's the committee chair, he basically said it wasn't between Arkansas and Mississippi State. It was between Arkansas and West Virginia, and he felt West Virginia just had the better situation. And then I didn't like what Peter Burns, I'm a big fan of that guy. People know he's been on this podcast a bunch of times, good friend of the show. But I didn't agree with what he said. He talked about, they allowed what happened in March to influence what happens in May. And I say, the season is the season, from opening day till the end of the regular season, that's the season. And whatever you do in there, if you lose a game on opening day, it's the same as you lost the last game of the season. And in reality, Arkansas just had too many bad losses for us to take them seriously as a host. And it goes back to something I've said a lot of times, and I really feel confident about it now. And so it's sort of what you just said, though. If you're already in, the SEC tournament doesn't matter. Like, it just did not matter for Mississippi State as long as they beat Missouri. Once they beat Missouri, like you said, you knew they were going to host, and I never really wavered from that, and apparently you didn't either.
There was no doubt. There was no doubt after seeing what we did and just thinking about the body of work and where the RPI fell, that we were going to be right there. And how did you start this segment? I forgot your
Well,
statement.
just about that, the SEC tournament kind of irrelevant, and on top of that, that the season is the season. You know that that you know I thought one of the big selling points of State's resume was that the zero for bad losses. They had none. They beat every bad team they played. Arkansas had, I think, had 5 losses, quad three, quad four, and most of those were at home. That's just not a hosting resume. It's exactly what happened to us 2 years ago. We won.
That's what I was about to bring up. I think we
Yeah.
were, what were we, 17 and
We were
13?
17 and 13, plus we won the Governor's Cup and we won 2 games in the SEC tournament. So we had 20 SEC wins, but
But we had 5 bad losses, and
six.
that, and yeah, six. So that, and most of them dated back to the first part of the season. So, yeah, I mean, the precedent had been set that they did not take a 20, basically a 20 win SEC team as a host 2 years ago because of early season bad losses. So that's exactly what Arkansas should have known was going to happen. Even though, the last 3 weeks of the season, Arkansas really got on a run, but still, those early losses do count.
One thing before we let you go here, we were talking last week after we're talking softball, and after Alyssa Faircloth's no hitter, I was talking about all time performances in clutch situations. I brought up Eric Dubose, his you know the 1997 region to be able to pitch those games, to pitch the complete game on short rest. We're talking about rain. Rain was a big factor. Rain was kind of the second MVP of that particular team because it allowed Dubose to have that extra day of rest. What do you remember about that game and just realizing pretty early on that Dubose was on and it was going to be tough for Washington to get to him?
Yeah, so I heard your show yesterday. So yeah, and you saying that I
I
would
said he's going to get on to me
say
if I don't bring this up.
because as soon as you brought up, a top 4 or 5, I was like Dubose 97,
Yeah.
pitching 2 complete games in a basically a 4 days Thursday Friday, a 4 day span. So yeah, man, just going against Washington and their lineup was just, I mean, and they were so hot. Chris Magruder and their lineup was just so good. And I just early on, you just knew he had it because he had the spike breaking ball working and then his fastball, at our time, 91, 92 was throwing it really, really hard from the left side. And he had the bulldog mentality. It's kind of what we've talked about throughout, the month or so that I've been on this show where, who's the dogs on the team? Who's the guys that you want to either have the ball on the mound when it's clutch time or who's the guy you want in the box? And Dubose is somebody you wanted on that mound because he wasn't scared of anybody. He didn't care about a pitch count. He just wanted the ball and he wanted to be able to go at every hitter. And he did that. He didn't, he walked, I don't know if he walked any of that game, but if he did, it was very little. So he made them
Not
have
a
to earn
box score.
everything. And man, he's just he was just a horse all year for us. And to do that 2 games in 4 days is just amazing.
That's one of those things that, like, I don't know that you could do that now. Like, obviously, the regional is a different, the way they're set up are differently. I guess you could go to a 4th day, but, I remember Pomerantz did that. And I think that was may have been in a super regional, if I'm being honest, where he pitched on Friday. They had a rain delay. He was able to come back. They ended up losing. I think that's the one they lost to Virginia, now that I think about it, with O'Connor up there. But nowadays, people would lose their minds if a guy threw that many innings in a 4-day span. But it just a
And
different time. And I mean, just toughness, in my opinion.
yeah, and I've seen on a couple of the boards where fans are saying, no, we need to throw Tico Friday. So if we have to go to a fourth game on Monday, and I'm like, those days are over. I don't. I think Tico would want to. I think he's that bulldog. He's got that Eric
They would
Dubose
protect him, though.
mentality.
There's no
Yeah, but
way.
he's a first rounder, and it's totally different nowadays. So I would definitely say, throw. Do not throw Tico on Friday. Have him for Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you 100%. All right, we'll find out more. I'm supposed to talk to O'Connor. As we're recording this, it's about 2:30 on Monday. I'm supposed to talk to O'Connor about an hour from now. Hopefully, we'll get some more information out of him over what his plans are. Between now and then, Brooks, we'll definitely have you back on this week, and we'll get a little more preview as we get closer to the start of the Starkville Regional. Glad to have postseason baseball back in Starkville.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate Brooks joining us. He'll join us again later this week to get a little more preview for the Starkville Regional. No rumblings tomorrow. It's just going to be me. But I do have two good interviews lined up for you guys. Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball will join us. He's kind of their resident bracketologist. So we'll talk to him about his thoughts of what was going on Sunday and when State dropped out and then bringing them back in and so on and so forth. And just get his thoughts on the field overall and State's chances in its own regional. And then, as promised and as delivered upon, promises kept here on Thunder and Lightning, Coach Samantha Ricketts is going to join me tomorrow as well. She will be live from Oklahoma as her team gets set for a historic first ever game in the Women's College World Series. She said she would come back on if they advanced. They advanced. She keeps her word. We love her here on this show. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So it should be a really good show for you, but no rumblings. We'll hold that off for another week. A lot going on. And also, don't forget, this Thursday, if you can, please join me at Boardtown Pizza and Pints for our special edition of Thunder and Lightning Live. Haven't got any guests set up yet, but we're working on that. We'll have them up very, very soon. And hope you'll come out and join us. Say hello. I think we're going to have some stuff to give away, so that should be a lot of fun. And come check us out. Boardtown Pizza and Pints, 1 o'clock on Thursday. Come see us in the Cotton District for a special live edition of Thunder and Lightning. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Carla Barone, who isn't here, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.